You're listening to DraftKings Network.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes!
The Vandercoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Hey, Greg.
Yes, sir.
Have you attended any of these press avails during the pandemic where you go into like a Zoom conference room and that's how you're supposed to build up your relationships with these people now?
Yeah, I've done a couple. Not a whole lot, but yes, to answer your question, yeah. It's weird.
I imagine it's made the useless sound montage a little bit tricky, but there was this one post-game media interaction in one of these Zoom rooms that went a little viral from the Philadelphia Flyers media Zoom room. Have you seen this, Greg?
No.
All right. I'm curious to know if you had a relationship.
The whole thing is awkward, right? Like, it's awkward and sad. It's weirdly, like, I don't know if you guys noticed this. Tell me you noticed this, Mike, and this has been happening all season, but I feel like it's only this season. There's something about the camera work during these football games that they're so close to the athletes, like the Browns running to huddle up, that it looks almost like you can't tell the difference between real human beings and video game likenesses that look so much like the
real thing.
You're
talking about the 8K cameras that people are using now?
Yes, I'm talking about the way that the viewing experience looks. It's weird. It feels sort of like futuristically robotic in that you can't tell the virtual from the real. And in these Zoom rooms, the whole thing is like got a film on it where it's just one note off from us trying to be totally normal.
All right. So now I see where you're going with it. The football broadcast couldn't look clearer, but the post games have really suffered in video quality, but they haven't suffered in awkwardness. As someone that revels in awkward sound clips, you might get a kick out of this. Now, Roy, I will lean on you for the pronunciation because this guy's apparently a pretty good player. Jacob Voracek. All right. From the Philadelphia Flyers. He has a bone to pick with a member of the media, and it seemed as though this started bubbling to the surface in this Zoom room.
This is for Jake. Two games in, Jake. How different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write f***ing shit every time. So it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
Wow. Charlie O'Connor, you're on with Jake and Travis. Go ahead.
I love the media guy after.
Wait a minute. We got to hear that again. Cody, what's the worst one of those of you've had? Because athletes, man, we haven't had one of those in a while where you're just watching. I was actually having this conversation the other day with Bobby Bonilla, of all people, because back in the 90s, in the tabloid New York age, he looked at some cameras and was just kind of smug. You're not going to be able to wipe the smile off my face. And it became like a national story. But because we're in a pandemic, somebody just calling a reporter a snake goes, and because it's hockey, a weasel goes right under the radar.
This is for Jake. Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write f***ing shit every time. No, so it doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points after the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny.
Wait a minute. Wait.
Next question.
Wait. I need to examine this some more, because what I love is how he goes from rage to sports cliche back to rage. Like, yes. There's a fastball, a changeup, and then a fastball where this is how I really feel. This is how I talk when I'm just giving you your cliches. And this is how I talk because I know your stories are fucking shit.
This is for Jake. Two games in, Jake, how different does the season feel, if at all, given the circumstances of the offseason and the condensed schedule and everything?
Doesn't matter what I say, Mike. You're going to write f***ing shit every time. It doesn't matter what you say. Yeah, it feels different. I mean, we got 4 points out of the first two games. I wasn't even going to answer your question because you are such a weasel. It's not even funny. Next question.
He couldn't even live with himself going into cliche mode. Like, he stops.
You know what? Like, enough of this.
It's like, look, I was polite for one sentence, but you're a weasel.
I'll be polite, but I feel the need to explain myself to you and the audience watching at home. You're a weasel.
What is the worst one of those that you have ever gotten? I think mine might be OJ McDuffie, who you do not want mad at you in a locker room, being held back, yelling obscenities at me because of something I'd written.
Yeah, Tim Bowens once cornered me in a locker room on the road, and he's not a guy you want angry at you either. But I've never been called a weasel, I will say that.
Chris, are you mad because your dad seems tired, sluggish?
It's kind of annoying me, and this is, there's some resentment here from the Greg Cody Show podcast boiling over. Sometimes he just doesn't understand. Like, bring the energy up a little bit.
What does that mean? What about the podcast?
I'm just saying, you do this all the time on the podcast where I'm like, can you just say that again just with more energy? Just turn it up
a
little bit.
No, he just turned it up. You don't see what your father does there, Chris, because he's sinister this way. And as much of an oaf as he is, he's also nefarious in this regard. He just wanted you to mention the podcast again. And the most excited or energy that he has had on the show today is when talking about his podcast right there. He is here to sit here, get attention to his podcast, have us give him scoops, and just sit there and be awful. Yes, Billy, what can you possibly be coming in here to defend him with?
Not defend, is there a podcast this week? If so, who's the guest, Greg?
Oh, thanks, Billy. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have friend of the pod, Amin El Hassan on. How about that?
That's a get.
Good get, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
We're not trying to get clicks off of all the latest news with Le Batard Show. Definitely none of that going on there.
I imagine.
Yeah, we don't even talk to him about that.
I imagine we'll cover some of this in the mystery crate. That's part of the mystery crate this upcoming week is Dan answers questions collected by the Reddit community. Looking forward to that. Dan finally does an AMA. But the Reddit guy is no longer the Reddit guy on Twitter because he tried to call Amin El Hassan out. Now,
this was a weird story.
Help me out. Okay, I want to understand what is happening here. Please take me through all of this because I look, there are a lot of things going on in our lives. Stugatz just had to leave right now. Stugatz is gritting it through some stuff at home. He will tell you about it when he feels like it, but he had to just leave and he will be back as soon as he can. But this has been a lot on all of us for a number of different reasons. There's been a great deal of upheaval. Continue, Mike. I'm sorry.
So I fell asleep very early and I woke up to messages from some people saying, what is Amin doing on Twitter? Now, I don't want to do this or police people's behavior. Amin is enjoying his freedom, and he put up how do I explain this? He put up a GIF
of Tony Romo excited on Chad Henne's run.
Essentially. It was a melding of a scene from Spider-Man and something kind of, well, not kind of pornographic, something pornographic, but there wasn't a penis or a private part showing up in it, but you could tell what it is when you watch it. It's
debatable.
Not in my taste, but whatever, man, enjoy your freedom. The moderator of our Reddit, who, if you're a moderator at your leisure, I guess you're predisposed to actually moderate other people's content too, said, hey, man, not a good look, which I think is a very valid argument. But then fans of our show started jumping down the moderator's neck because he was policing other people's content. And now there's a full-on civil war going on.
Well, that's
in
a
our
fight
Reddit
for freedom. This is what's going on in our country and here in our comment section. In literally the comment section of this show, there is a war of how much are you to be trusted with freedom? How do you value freedom? And is freedom in its greatest form porn?
Yes.
This is what Amin El Hassan is deciding.
Precisely.
And it is not for the Reddit guy to decide that, but I don't blame the Reddit guy for saying, you know what? I don't like this incarnation of freedom. I wipe my hands of all of this. Now, Amin, go wipe your hands because we didn't know you were dirty, dark porn humor guy.
We'll also wipe your hands because it appears to be very sticky given the Skeet situation.
That's the joke I was yeah. making. I didn't make it well enough.
Well, it's subtle.
In the Reddit guy's defense, even I saw Amin's tweet and I was just like, ooh.
Well, but Amin does some of that. Here's the thing. Look, help me with this, guys. Help me with this because Amin has really jumped here. Very excited about the idea of freedom. But Amin has made people uncomfortable with his Twitter account. It's not just ESPN sensibilities. It's all of us, I think.
I think Amin has cemented the fact that he'll never work in another front office again.
He seems to enjoy just excoriating people, and he enjoys fighting with them. And so what he does with this freedom on this pirate ship is what's going to happen here, and Mark from Reddit just felt it. This swashbuckler is coming on, and he's just swinging his sword and his hook at everybody. Like, this is what freedom looks like for me. I don't care who gets impaled. I'm putting up porn on my Twitter account. Yeah, USA.
I hope this whole thing works out, if for no one else, for Amin, because I feel like Amin is, this needs to work out for Amin, I think, after some of the judges.
He's reckless. He's reckless, and I'm not sure how comfortable I am with some of Amin's humor, but he just...
And that was Mark's point. That was Mark's point, really, is that I don't know if Dan would love this. That's kind of what Mark said.
But Chris, this is the danger of freedom for all these guys. You saw the mess Stugatz made of Cameo? Guys, how many is it now? 300? Like, it's still a mess. And it's the least surprising mess ever. And it's a mess that comes back and sticks to me. But I ain't responsible for all of this anymore. And I was talking about the Amin mess that sticks to me. I wasn't talking about the Stugatz mess.
Phrasing.
Yeah, phrasing.
That's the joke I was making. Why am I missing you guys with these?
Dad, it is really, honestly, very frustrating, though. How, like, you come in with such little energy.
Oh, I don't know how to answer that question.
Answer it with more energy. Like, turn it on, man. We're doing a show here. You seem bored when you're talking. Like, you're answering Dan's question. You're like, you know, you're right. I do think that I fell asleep. I'm sorry. What were you saying?
All right. I'm going to take a bunch of amphetamines prior to next week's show.
I don't think Chris is wrong.
He may be right. You know,
I'll mark it down and I'll make a note and I'll get better next week.
Study the game tape, see how you perform. How right, many cups of Joe we bite today, Greg?
You know, I'll take some Joe. Yeah.
I got to study the tape and, see where I erred. Make corrections.
Even that, low energy.
Three cups in, four cups in, what are we buying?
Two.
Two? Oh.
Mid two. Mm.
How much is left in that canister of yours?
It's the middle of the second.
Give it a good chug, though. So we're only really by one and a half.
True. All right, here we go.
This is the pick me up that he needs, Chris.
Seems that's like right. It's below average.
No, it's right here. Mm. I think you can't tell with these metal canisters. You know, you can't see through them. So who really knows?
That's what we need to invent: metal we can see through, huh, Greg?
Yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Invent that. Give me a cut of it.
I'm on it.
Chris, help me with something here, please, because your father never knows when we're on air or when we're not on air. That's part of the difficulty in the workflow. And the show has been a little bit messier than usual because with this freedom, there are no clocks and we are just sort of stumbling around doing show and we don't have the sponsors or the restrictions or the stop and go. Chris, that was a genuine frustration you have with your father. His energy level has stunk all show except when we're talking about him in the most overt of ways. Like he has been just sort of, I don't know, sullen and dry and not engaged more than anything. Is it because of the vaccine, Greg? Like, are you affected in some way? You have not been yourself today. And that, again, that back in my day, while you tell us that there's the occasional changeup, you've never done one that serious. That's the first time that's ever happened. And I'm wondering if they shot you up with something that makes you less fun.
I would love to blame the COVID vaccine I got, but no, we're good on that. I can't explain, I can affect a higher energy level right now. Is my energy level high enough?
Ooh, it is. You know. This is better, actually. Yeah, okay. Since we said something. Yes.
No, it's been it's been a show that it hasn't been a lot of fun for me, quite frankly. And I apologize that I conveyed that feeling more than I should have.
Why has it not been fun for you? What's the problem been? Has it been me?
It's just been, you know, all the rehash of the whole thing where I chose my wedding anniversary over your scoop, and that is a little bit annoying to me. And then the idea that I'm being truthful here. The idea that you're going to demand a back in my day from me every week, but then not give me the latitude to do a serious one once in a while is...
Dad, you didn't mean that to one to be serious. You were trying to be funny at parts in that. It's fine. Like, don't...
No,
like...
I wasn't.
Okay.
No, I'm looking back through what I wrote, and I didn't expect it to have a great laugh. I didn't.
Well, these are the things, though, Chris, and just, I think it's all instructive, right? Because we've already learned in this brief voyage, 2 weeks at sea with freedom, that there's a whole lot of scary stuff here, whether it's Stugat scameoing people or whether it's Amin Al-Hassan showing you porn or Greg Cody doing Greg Cody things and me and him bickering. These are the things that break up rock bands. This is what happens when people get to success. And so, Greg Cody, we were talking earlier, right? Because your son also told me that you were expecting to be paid here soon and that no one has told you where your money is, as all of us are sitting here just sort of floating at sea. What's the disagreement? Chris and Greg are now staring at each other.
What are you disagreeing with, Dad?
What are you disagreeing with, Greg? I'd heard that you wanted to be paid for your appearances here.
I think eventually everyone does. I'm going to take a wild guess on that one. I don't even remember mentioning that to Christopher. And if I did, why the hell is he sharing a personal conversation? It's like it's a betrayal, you know, and it's bad enough that during a back of my day, he's putting on the internal message chat that, hey, they can't all be good. I mean, that's just F all of you, quite frankly. I mean, you know, it's...
I didn't do anything.
Guys, let's all come together now.
Except Roy.
This is what's happening here.
F the rest of you.
Deep sea, scary place, sharks, octopi, jellyfish. There's a lot going on, but we can't turn against each other. We can't have a mutiny. I was thinking, though, this is unrelated to that. That hopefully has... solved everything. So anyways, I was thinking, Chris, you should adopt like this. You should scoop things like you just scooped your dad on his deep, dark personal feelings. I feel like when you give a scoop, you should be two scoops. That should be your name when you break news.
All
right. Hold on a second. Let me stop you guys on a couple of fronts. First of all, I don't know that we've had a happier moment than Roy getting into a very tight window with his only words of that segment and getting the most immediate apology from your father, and I'm wrong, I've ever heard, where he realized, well, Roy didn't say anything to me and he really doesn't deserve an F you. Everyone else here can get an F you, right. But Roy has legitimately sat this out. Congratulations, Roy. I feel like in this difficult, troubled time in America, we've arrived at a unique place where the white man who comes from privilege and can't be bothered to try on his radio show, even though he's got fame for no good reason at all, that he would immediately apologize to Roy Bellamy and immediately see his error when he doesn't see any of his other errors and all this Larry David stuff that we argue about with him. You, Roy, are the reason that today we can celebrate something that feels more like racial harmony. The white man who descends from white power and whose son is the very gift of white power on this show and is both of them a symbol of entitlement around here that supports the white power. Roy, you get a victory today right before that White House gets fumigated for all the racial stuff that that president has fomented. I salute you, Roy Bellamy, for the first ever victory over Greg Cody, where he immediately sees the error of his ways.
Well, thank you, Dan. And this is a victory for America today. Thank you very much.
I will say, Roy and Billy, consistently are the only people on this show who are pretty much always kind to me. And as for my son, start saving your money, kid, because if you think you're going to be in my will, you got another thing coming.
Well, here we go. See, this is how it
happens. Will joke again. Yes. The will joke. There.
Sounds like he won't.
Damn right.
Oh,
oh, that's good.
You didn't see the won't?
That was good. I missed it.
Good. Yeah, that was good.
All right. I actually want to get into some things here in sports with you guys, because you mentioned two scoops over there. Did you guys notice? I don't even know what the commercial is for, but the hip hop group Tag Team Scoop, there it is. I marveled at that commercial. Yes, Roy.
It's for Geico, Dan.
Okay, I marveled at that commercial because they had to say,
"Wow, tag team is back again."
Well, this is the this is the thing that the Geico commercial did, which is, I believe, the worst advertising that we've seen since Pro Bowler Brian Arakpo having to identify himself by name in one of these commercials because nobody knew who the hell he was. The joke in the Geico commercial is you don't know who the two guys, the whoop, there it is guys. You don't know what they look like or who they are. So Geico hired them and introduced them with, hey, there's Tag Team, the old hip hop group. And one of the guys is also wearing a jacket that reads Tag Team, which is like a Arakpo having his jersey on where they have to tell you, hey, this is the celebrity endorsement we're using. We have to introduce you to them because nobody has any idea who these two people are.
The underrated thing about that commercial, what made me laugh out loud, was at the end, the couple doing the kid and play dance in the corner. Like nobody's able to see them. That was funny.
There were a number of sports things I wanted to get into with you today that I don't know that we're going to end up having time for, okay? LaMelo Ball seems to be actually very good. LaMelo Ball, from range, is distorting the game. He's shooting 37.1% on pull-up threes. That is worth noting as he has more and more range. And I saw something I haven't seen very much on shots of his where defenders were hanging their head because they're like, well, how am I supposed to guard that? Like, if he's going to make it from there, what the hell am I supposed to do? That is something you don't see a lot in young basketball players. I wanted to get into the Knicks being worth $5.42 billion, more than any franchise in the NBA. So being good and having a good owner doesn't matter. They're worth more than everybody, and by a lot. Fourth place is Brooklyn, and they're $2 billion down. So you don't have to run it well. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be smart at business. You can have a band that embarrasses you, JD in the straight shots, and none of it matters. You still will not hurt the value of your company, no matter how badly you mismanage it.
All those lists are always good content, and as a supporter of your franchise, you're always interested in seeing where they end up being, but it's kind of bullshit, no?
How so? I think that has to do with being in New York, Madison Square Garden, all that stuff.
It's bullshit someone just trying to compute what a franchise is worth, because what a franchise is worth is what someone will pay for them. Because every single one of those lists that had what the Clippers were worth, back then nobody had $2 billion. Nobody ever actually has the selling price when these things sell. So it's good content and it gets aggregated and it's all fun, but the real worth is what someone pays for them, no?
Yes, agreed. And I want to get to that, just like I want to get to Shaq, of all people, calling out Harden on, I mean, not seeing the irony in that. Maybe he does see the irony in that. I mean, Amin says that he's looking for the vibe. Oh, no, it was Lefko. Lefko says he's always looking for the viral moment, so maybe he criticizes Harden on not caring enough with irony of knowing he's the guy who got accused of that an awful lot. I wanted to talk about the Bills. They'd be at 12 in a row if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't make that catch on a Hail Mary. 12 wins in a row. I wanted to talk about Pam Oliver, who was fighting it out in the cold, and you all thought she was drunk. I wanted to talk about Canseco. He's fighting a barstool guy now, Billy. I would have liked to have had a chance at that. I just don't know who around here would have been willing to lure Canseco out. He's fighting an intern at Barstool. Would you have been willing to do that on behalf of the cause, Billy?
Me? Absolutely not. Do you remember what Jose Canseco is known for in baseball? Did you forget? How do you think that's going to go against me?
I don't know. You had that foot race where you looked very masculine.
Yeah, but he claims he himself weighs 270 pounds. I don't know where this fight is happening. Well, I think it's a Barstool thing, but I don't know what kind of testing there will be done before this fight. But I feel like Jose maybe come in a little more juiced, let's just say, for this fight than maybe I would have.
Now, the Barstool intern's name is also Billy. So I actually think it'd be funny if we had our Billy, you know, challenge somebody to a fight.
How about
so
Ozzy?
Come on, pick Billy, somebody out.
Billy, you want to fight Ozzy Canseco? Come on, our Billy.
I don't want to fight anyone. I don't want to go outside. I don't want to fight the cold.
That's why you fighting fight somebody. People. This would be hilarious. It'd be such a good bit. Billy, walking out to a ring.
Billy, can you please call out Ozzy Canseco? Let's just see where it goes. Nobody will make you do it. Just make a video where you call out Ozzy Canseco, because we're just going to blatantly rip off what we think is a good idea where Barstool. We want to get Canseco, Billy. We want a relationship with Canseco, and it doesn't matter if we have to fight him or his brother to have it.
you know what happened with that, right? So our Jose Canseco contact, Morgan, they had a falling out. So we now are contactless with Jose Canseco.
Oh, we're at ground zero again. All right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about that. I wanted to talk about us overreacting to Tyreek Hill shoving a coach and then saying, oh, never mind. They're just playing. They're good friends.
We overreacted? I don't think there was enough of a reaction with that. Andy Reid's lost control of that locker room. Should have kicked them out. They're going to walk all over them.
But instead of talking sports, Greg, because I do want, it was important for me to be on. I yammered too much earlier in the show, but I wanted to specifically talk to you guys in a quiet, honest moment, all of you, about how you're feeling at this moment, because I remember at the height of what I would have said was our ESPN happiness right around that time, was I remember looking in a more normal time in the shipping container, and all of you, even Roy, were smiling, grinning maniacally at the last time we arrived at an inauguration because of just how ridiculous it was that a reality television star was playing poorly and starched to the cameras as he's coming on for his inauguration. And we're all sort of laughing about the idea of, Jesus Christ, this is where America has arrived. I remember looking in the shipping container and being like, man, they look really happy back there, sharing a good laugh at how absurd this is that the leader of our country is on that television and he's Donald Trump reality star. And I was right there with you. Right before that, I was saying, because I couldn't imagine that America couldn't produce politicians better to unseat that one. I'm like, sure, let the anarchist win for a while. It'll be funny. We'll get a lot of content. The late night shows will be great. He'll beat up Chris Christie, but surely he can't beat all the politicians in our entire land, right? Surely there's no way he will actually get to the White House. And there it was. And you guys were legitimately happy. Tell me I'm wrong. Somebody in here, tell me I'm wrong. When you guys were roaring with laughter, as I understand that this absurdity had arrived, how could any of us have seen from there that it would become what it became? Honest to God, how could any of us have known? And this doesn't forgive us, because I remember it happening and us just sort of marveling, like, what a funny joke this is, that this is the president of our country. And it was so much worse than any of us could have imagined.
He had the oh shit face the entire time. So it was funny and ridiculous. And I don't think any of us could tell in that moment the horror that was coming our way. My main takeaway when all that was happening is, as ridiculous of a campaign as this person ran, the racist platform that he introduced himself to the world of politics with by calling President Obama someone that wasn't born in this country, a foreigner. And there is President Obama sitting front row and being class personified as he was his entire presidency, as he's been his entire life. And I was like, well, this is so cool that America still has a peaceful transition of power, as wacky as that whole campaign season was. You still have Barack Obama there. Fast forward 4 years from then, and now the sitting president is leaving, having his own red carpet ceremony that no one's RSVPing to because he's not attending the ceremony of the peaceful transition of power weeks after he staged a coup.
Cody, what do you have for us on this front in all seriousness? Because I want to talk to all of you about what the last 4 years have been. And it's important for me and for us to be on air right now because make fun of it if you like, and I'm sure you will. Meadowlark, John Skipper, our CEO, is an arts and literary guy. Mike, what can we tell people about what we're doing here with John Skipper and South Beach Sessions? Because we're not available to the press. The press is calling us a great deal, and we are not available. But Meadowlark is meant to be symbolically. It's not just the only bird that flies and sings. It is the storytelling of the new dawn. It is the bird that sings to welcome in a new dawn. And symbolically, we're launching this company this week. We're launching everything that we're doing around this radio show and storytelling. And we've been denied over the last 4 years what would have been some really great comedy, as the president of the United States is suggesting that you drink bleach and just giving absurd interviews and just really making the late night circuit flourish in the new streaming age. As all of this changes, it's not late night video anymore. It's what can you make go viral because you're funny, as we're all locked in our homes. What can you tell people, Mike, before I get to Cody on this subject, about what we've got coming out with our CEO, John Skipper, head of Meadowlark Media, a startup company that you're in the middle of right now, and what you're listening to is the first bit of you watching us, watching a startup actually come to life with Amin El Hassan and his porn as one of the few first things through the door.
Unfortunately, I saw a press release that said John Skipper is going to be joining us on South Beach Sessions this week.
Okay. And when are we releasing South Beach Sessions? Do you know?
I do. It's going to be a later, we're going to throw two episodes at you this week, so it won't be its usual Wednesday release date. There's a lot of content that needs to be created between now and then, so we're going to have episodes 1 and 2 with John Skipper Thursday and Friday this week.
Oh, look at Billy mouthing a legitimate wow. Billy, what happened there? Why were you mouthing a legitimate wow? Because then you will feel like you too can listen to those and learn something about the company we're building.
Well, I am eager to do that, but I was thinking maybe this is an opportunity if maybe, you know, we want to bridge the gap here. Maybe Greg could get a little preview, maybe just to kind of promote it, you know, help the things out a little bit. Is that not something we're interested in? I thought we could just tell Greg what day it's coming out and then he could report that, what day the podcast is coming out. But that news was just broken by Mike, so we can't do that. So maybe just a little nugget for Greg to kind of throw out there, and then Greg's spirits will be higher and he'll be back on the open ocean with the rest of us. And then next week, a back in my day, one of which like we've never heard, huh?
So you're trying to coach him up here, motivate him. What's the story you would want, Greg? Are you running? I'm not being interviewed by you after the show.
Right. Yeah. Apparently all my sources within the show have dried up and left me. I don't know. I don't know who to go to for information anymore. But, you know, I would love the story on where you all wind up and what's going to happen with that. But
how about the Trump stuff? Do you have anything for us on that subject?
Well, here's the thing I remember, like, go back 4.5 years before the election, during all the primaries and everything. I remember the narrative was he knows he's not going to win. He can't win. He just, this is for building his brand and growing his financial business empire. He knows he's not, he doesn't even want to win. That was the narrative. And then he wins. And then 4 years later, we're sort of praying that that all of this anarchy leaves with him, as if Inauguration Wednesday is going to be a panacea when the light comes shining down and everything has changed and better and like it was. And it's not. I mean, because what we've seen him grow is this movement, for me, largely a lunatic movement with the QAnon and all that stuff. And it's not going to go away. It's just not. I'm terrified of the peacefulness of the inauguration tomorrow, and or the opposite of that, and what lies beyond it. I think we're in for a long fight, this country, and it terrifies me.
I can't tell you how unstable or uncertain those thoughts are among many people. Like, we do not know if tomorrow will be a peaceful transition of power. We don't know if something terrible is going to happen. There are going to be precautionary measures, but you have seen this has been a year of total lunacy. This has been a year of an America you have never known before. None of you have ever experienced before. None of us have ever experienced before.
And now we hear that the FBI is vetting 25,000 troops for fear that there may be an internal insurgence where some of the people assigned to protect the inauguration will be the ones inciting the insurrection. It's just terrifying. It really is. It's like nothing I've ever experienced in my lifetime, that's for sure.
I'll tell you the kind of fear, and I do want to get to the thoughts of Billy and Chris and Roy on this, but I have had for a while now, and it's one of the reasons that it was important to me to make sure that we could talk to you during this time as freedom gets threatened on pirate radio for all the goofiness that we do around here. I want to be able to have a platform to speak to you whatever happens in America. And I have spent a long time here, I would say the better part of 3 or 4 months, hoping that Joe Biden didn't die, that after he was elected, that the virus didn't get him or that somebody else didn't get him, so that that chaos wouldn't ensue where you'd have these factions broken down by race. And now what can be done to the government system when the president of the United States is a black woman? What could happen then in terms of violence and chaos? Like, I've legitimately just been rooting for Joe Biden since he's been elected, rooting for him to just get to tomorrow alive, even though it's not bathing light, Greg, Just give us the hope of being able to pull off that ceremony without the divisions resulting in an explosion or violence. Just give us the hope of not a finish line on this stuff, because I think everyone knows that we're headed to domestic terror, that we're headed toward Americans doing bad things because their minds have been polluted by lies and brainwashed. Like the QAnon thing, I mean, you have to be far reaching into the lunatic fringe to believe in cannibalistic, Satan-worshipping pedophiles. Like that is, to believe a party is organizing that, you have to have had your mind rotted by the entirety of the internet and your beliefs in conspiracy. So you're not saying something. Have you guys had that fear? Have you guys had the fear of what chaos is wrought if this old man Biden, like this, honest to God, the best American can do is Biden, Sanders, and Trump? Like, how are we the greatest country in the world when all we can throw at you, the best we can throw at you is three guys, three ancient, like Biden is a political mediocrity. He's just not him. Like he is a total political mediocrity.
Well, just not him got the most votes in presidential election history. I'm most excited, not just for if we can get past insurrection and whether or not we actually have a peaceful transfer of power. If he could just suspend that for a second and think about, man, good music's finally coming back to the inaugurations. Because look, Three Doors Down, I'll admit, they had a couple of hits. But the inauguration was lacking diversity last go round. It was lacking good music. We got some heavy hitters now. Timberlake, Gaga, J-Lo, Foo Fighters, and the biggest news, New Radicals are reuniting to perform Get What You Give, which was one of the biggest hits back when you were shutting down the Sandbar in the 90s in the Grove.
I love that Christopher Walken was there. Billy, how do you experience the last 4 years? You have sat out. You would be our least, quote-unquote, political creature. You have had very little to say during these 4 years about anything flammable. Chris, what might be in a tie with you on that front? You're experiencing this last 4 years and tomorrow and today as what? Like, how have you felt? Never mind the pandemic and the fear. I'm just talking about the politics and the idea that we're headed toward a new dawn tomorrow.
Are we going to be greeted by a meadowlark possibly tomorrow, Dan? Huh? Anyway, I was also going to say I'm looking forward to the concerts. Dan, how long has this country existed? I don't have the solutions.
At least 47 years.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything. I just try to get up every day and be nice. Is that a bad answer?
Okay, great. So it's a great conversation and you're glad we're having it?
I don't know. I can't solve these problems. There's going to be an inauguration tomorrow. I don't know.
That's great.
I will say that I do remember, and Billy and I talk politics all the time on the side. It's like a big thing that we talk about. We love politics. But I remember being at work after he got, elected. And I Roy was somebody taking this very seriously. And I was just kind of sitting back as somebody who's not into politics, just being like, come on, we have to find the funny in Donald Trump now being the president. And then Roy at that time was like, no, this is not funny. And in hindsight, Roy was right. I like regret how flippant I was at the beginning of this, kind of seeing the funny in all of it.
Yes, but Roy was right. And there's no disputing that Roy was right. But there's also no disputing, and Roy will not dispute this, that there was also a lot of laugh out loud moments on things that while they shouldn't have been funny, I don't know what you saw there, Roy. I don't know how you saw it that clearly. But were you in the middle of being alone laughing with us just to get along, or were you laughing because it was scary, horrifying, but also amazing and funny and ludicrous?
I don't remember laughing, Dan. Not at all. Zero. Okay. Zero laughs came from my side of the production studio.
Okay. Well, I experienced that as the happiest time in our show's history. And in the middle of it was a brooding, sad Roy who realized that racism was coming down the pike.
Yeah. I can laugh about it now, though. Absolutely hilarious. Yeah.
What was the happiest time in our show's history at ESPN? Because I was going to venture to say it was Masvidal fighting Stu Gatz out on that little grassy knoll area there, and even that's been tainted.
That turned on us too, huh?
Yeah, Masvidal. Man. God, just stick to fighting.
This Friday, Boy Kills World. The must-see action movie event of the year hits theaters.
Yes! The Vanderkoys killed my family. Now, I'm gonna kill them one by one.
Critics are calling it Looney Tunes on acid.
You know how hard it is to get a cereal company to sponsor mass murder?
Weapons. Danger. Let's do this.
Bill Skarsgård in Boy Kills World. In theaters Friday. Rated R.